Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
I didn't know it. It's Father's Day here in Australia. I think it was only a couple of days ago, but I was already preparing. I have a message for today, and it's connected to Father, the heart of the Father. But before that, let me, you know, one of the greatest blessings to me personally is to be a father. You know, the first time I heard our son David was born in Malaysia, the first cry I heard, something in me welled up and I just started to cry. Like, I was not emotional, I was starved. Maybe, I just don't know if I was prepared for that or what's coming, but there's just something within me that got stirred up. And now David is 18 years old. He just entered into university, first year college. He's studying architecture. And it's amazing. It's like 18 years passed by. 18 years. Looking back, we didn't have a clue how each day would unfold, but it's amazing. It's amazing that what we have dreamt for him to be, and for Sophia, our daughter, and now it's unfolding. I have, you know, I suspect that what I desire is not just my desire for him, but comes from the Almighty Father, who puts it inside my heart so I could see David and Sophie through his eyes. And what a wonderful blessing to participate in that. To see, I believe this is one of the greatest miracles too. It's not just the healing of sickness, not just the multiplication of bread, but to see a life stepping into his or her destiny. And we're given an opportunity to walk, to nurture, and to raise up that being. So, last month, as David was packing up his things, going to the dormitory, he came to our room, and he was giggling like, Dad, what? You have to read this. So, he pulled this card. This is Happy Father's Day, Dad. And he was laughing. And so, I asked, why? Well, read it. I don't think he gave this to me at all. It's in his things. Maybe he wrote this when he was 5 years old. So, I pulled the card inside and it reads, A Prayer in Sympathy. And let me read what's inside. Thinking of you today with deep, sincere sympathy. And we laugh, I laugh, he laughed. And David, what's on your mind? Why did you pick that card? And he said, I didn't know the meaning of sympathy. And it hit me that, you know, God desires relationship. That sometimes we don't even have a clue how to communicate, but he knows what is in our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. Maybe we're just saying things, but God sees the heart. God sees even your future. He's amazing. Amen? And now to see David stepping into his calling, into his life, his own path, it's amazing. David Wagner prophesied in Sydney, prophesied over Almira, and he included David and Sophia. And right on in his prophecy, David said, he is an architect, he carries blueprints from heaven. I mean, I was like, whoo! I mean, I was crying, oh my Jesus, I will walk with him, I will guide him, because he's not an accident, his desire is not an accident, this is it, God, you are preparing him for something much bigger than I could prepare him for. We have a good Father in heaven. Maybe for some of you, your dad is not perfect, or your parents, not perfect. Stop blaming. Stop pointing your finger. Look to the heavens. There is a good Father who designed you, understands you, and he has prepared destiny for you. As we were worshiping a while ago, I was reminded of this story, which is a testimony of supernatural things. Do you want to hear some stories? So this is not about Father's Day, by the way. This is about moms gathering. We have a ministry among poor women in a poor village somewhere in the Philippines. So as these women understood who they are in the Lord as daughters of the King, they understood that heaven is available, heaven is open, that when they pray, the Father hears. So these women gathered and they listened to the song, so, and the presence of God came all over them. They were crying. And one of the ladies, she's pregnant. She's actually overdue. Like maybe 5 days, she's about to burst. And she said, please, could you please pray for me? I don't have money. I didn't go to the doctor. I don't want operation. I don't have money to pay for an operation. And so the group said, okay, let's pray for you. Please pray for normal delivery. Okay. So they prayed. In Jesus' name we pray for normal delivery. Guess what happened? The baby came out. It was, what? Right there, no labor, baby came out. The baby can't wait. It was shocking. Good, I wasn't there. I don't know how to react to this. But I was reminded as we were worshiping, it's not just a testimony of supernatural birth. The Lord is telling me in my spirit, some of you are carrying destiny inside of you. You have been wanting to step out, but it needs to be birthed. It needs to come out. But there's no community, no family, no one is there to support you, to believe in you, or to connect you to the Father. For this is what God says. The best of who you are is found in Him. The birthing of who you are, your destiny, your future, the things that you will be creating will be released when you are connected to your Father. And that is my prayer tonight, that you will not just listen to a message, but your hearts, our hearts will be connected to our Almighty Father. Amen? Amen? That nobody will leave this room and say, I'm still alone. Nobody cares. Nobody hears me. No. Our Father in heaven knows even a single thought before you speak a word, He knows. So going back to the ladies, okay, baby came out. It was a glorious chaos. They scattered. They looked for a midwife to finish the job. You know, it was messy, but it was fun. Like, oh, how do you prepare for that? You cannot. There are things in our lives you can't prepare for. Are you with me? But God is in control. He knows the time. There is a timing for that baby to come out. And I believe for many of you, tonight is your birthing. Tonight, the destiny inside of you will be released. No more delays. No more delays. The good Father is saying to you, this is the night that you will be released into who you really are. 2 months passed. They kept on every week worshiping the Lord, sharing lives. Another lady came. She's pregnant. She's not from the group. I don't know if there was an outbreak of pregnancy that happened afterwards. She said, I heard the news. What news? Well, somebody gave birth and I don't have money. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't even know the gender of my baby. Could you please pray for me? So this group welcome the presence of God. And then the leader of the group heard the voice of God saying, in 30 minutes, you will give birth to a baby girl. I'm not David Wagner. But she just said it, like, in 30 minutes, you will give birth to a baby girl. 25 minutes without labor, the baby came out. We cannot put God in a box. Amen. Come on. I pray that there's going to be birthing of dreams. Tonight, there's going to be a birthing of destiny. Supernatural. Maybe you've been stuck in a season. Tonight, you will move. There's going to be a birthing, supernatural growth, supernatural grace in what you're doing and who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Smile to the person next to you. No more delays. It's time to give birth. Come on. Hallelujah. And this gives us a new ministry. You know, guess what's our new ministry? Deliverance ministry, only for women. Who wants to sign up? Supernatural birth. I've been sharing this. And then one of my friend pastor in the U.S. heard this story. And one day, his phone rang. His spiritual daughter in Rwanda was calling him. I'm having a difficulty in birth, giving birth. I'm going to the ICU. Please pray for me. And he, in less than 2 minutes, he shared, oh, I have a friend from the Philippines. They have supernatural birth. You want me to pray for you? She was crying, yes, please pray for me now. And the pastor prayed, Pastor Paul Ahrens, he prayed, in the name of Jesus. You know what happened? The baby came out. Your breakthrough, your birthing of destiny, your getting unstuck to your transition, it's time to move. Tell your story, share your story, share how good God is. It's time that we are stepping out from being overdue to giving birth. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is a good illustration for Father's Day message. But I just felt it was the Holy Spirit who led me to this. Amen. Are you with me? So, well, I want to, okay, just take that on the side and let's go back to the main topic here. God wants to be known as a father to you. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, the last verse of Luke, It's a long genealogy. You know, if you read genealogy, you know, it has an anointing to put you to sleep, like the son of. So it traces, that genealogy traces Jesus back to Adam. And don't you know it says there, and Adam who is a son of God. What was God's original intention, desire when he created Adam? He was not creating another animal. He was not creating another creature. He was forming a son. Are you with me? And that word Adam means humanity. Say with me, humanity. So when God was forming Adam, he was actually touching us, forming us, because we're part of humanity. You have God's imprint all over you. God formed you. You are not ordinary. You are God's image and likeness. You were formed from that image and likeness of God. So the person next to you is not an ordinary person. That person is created in the image and likeness of God. Well, you might say, well, I messed up. Your messes cannot remove the truth and God's intention and design that you will be a carrier of His glory, of His presence, of His image and His likeness. Amen. I pray that as we continue to pursue the presence of God as a community, as a family, this will be a place in which people will begin to understand that they're not just a number, that they know they are a son, they are a daughter. And we know in that story, Genesis, if Adam is a son in God's original intent, who is God then? God is Father. The identity of Adam is not just a worker, not a slave. His identity, God-given identity, is a son. Okay. Would you please turn to the person next to you, if he is he or she, tell that person you are a son or you are a daughter of God. And tell him or her, you look good, you look awesome. You carry the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give a hand to the Lord. There is eternity inside our hearts. There is something of God, the imprint of His hands all over us. Are you with me? And yes, we know Adam and Eve fell. We know, and a lot of times that becomes the main story. No, that is not the main story. The main story is this. God's heart is to always be a father and to have spiritual children, humanity, as sons and daughters. He desires a family. Religion highlights what is wrong. God highlights what is in the heart. What is in His heart. Are you with me? Yeah. Imagine the moment Adam... Is this good? Yeah. Are we... Hallelujah. The moment Adam opened up his eyes, he was never in shame or guilt in fear. You don't read like, and Adam hid his face because he saw the glory of God. No, Adam was created in that image and likeness. We were created for this. The first human experience is an encounter with God. You were created to see God face to face. You were created to hear His voice. You were created to walk with God. We are all created to walk with a Father. We are all created to dream with Him. We are all created to be loved and to be embraced by a good Father. Yes, we know Adam and Eve fell, and let me ask you, what was the first question that Adam asked, God asked? Where are you, Adam? God never asked, what have you done? Religious tone is, what have you done? No. If He is a father, any fathers here? I didn't punish my son giving me my deepest sympathy card. I understood what is in his heart. Religion gives us a picture of not a father, but somebody who is waiting for us to mess up or to fall to sin, and He will hit us. But if you see there, the first question, where are you, Adam? It's a question of connection. It's a question of, where is your heart? I couldn't feel your heart. I've been longing. I showed up in the garden and you're not there. I'm looking for you, Adam. God is looking for you. Each one of us here in this room, God knows your name. God knows your address. God knows what's going on with you. And He's asking this question again, where are you? Because I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. I want us to walk in the garden again. I love the song, Lean Back. I've been singing that song in the arms of the beautiful Father. Don't you know the first day of man, God created man on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested, right? So the first day of man is the day of rest, because God, a good Father, wants to spend time with His Son. You're not just an extra. No. He created everything for this. So the person seated beside you carries that imprint, that DNA. And so in the New Testament, I know I don't have the luxury of time. Trust me, this is in the Bible. I cannot unpack all of this like the way I did. But let me just tell you a story in the scripture, a parable that Jesus used to reveal who God is. One of the main reasons of Jesus in coming to this earth, the ultimate, if I may say that, is to reveal who God is. He revealed the face of a Father. Amen? What was God's original intent? That humanity will see the face of the Father. Religion, this is it. You fell. You this. You. All about what mistakes, all about what we have done. But God, no, it's all about relationship. So everything that Jesus did, whether it's healing, signs and wonders, casting out of demons, multiplication of bread, all the teachings of Jesus points to this direction. He is a good Father. Prostitutes, a woman caught in adultery. The Samaritan woman who was not supposed to be part of the Jewish inheritance of the blessing. Yet God or Jesus would go out His way to connect to every broken person, to the lepers, to the sinners. So one day, I'm preaching on Luke 15. Now I'm preaching. I know, I'll be sensitive with our time. Luke 15, and the context of this is there were two groups of people. Jesus was dining with the sinners. He loves to hang out with the sinners. Amazing Jesus. He was eating, he was having fun. Oh, wow. And then the Pharisees, they were like furious, the religious people. They were, what are you doing? Because to them, it's about what they can do to keep up with the law. This is the standard, perform it. Jesus did not come to elevate that standard and say, make sure you do this. He actually became the standard. He did it all so that it's no longer about what we can do, it's about who he is and who we are because of what he did. So he was dining with his sinners, and then the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were like, oh, why is Jesus? And then he tells them this parable. He shares, when we give a title, the parable of the prodigal son, let me suggest it's not the parable of the prodigal son. It's the parable of a loving father. Because what is in the story is the heart of a father. Let me tell you again, Jesus came to reveal who God is. Jesus came to show who God is. He did not establish religion. He came to reveal who God is and to bring us to God's family. Amen. Actually, that's the good news. Hallelujah. And so he tells this parable. He said, there were two sons, a man who's in the story, could be rich, he owns land. He's got two sons. In the story, it was never mentioned, there were two sinners. No. We see things differently. Religion see it differently. But he's got two sons, the younger and the older. The younger said, give me my inheritance. And I'll just go through this, and I pray that we will get some nuggets out of this. I've done studies of this, even in the context of Middle Eastern times. Because sometimes we read it as Aussies, and we try to interpret the scripture based on how we read and what our culture. But don't you know, when you read it through their lens, you see more to it. So let me try to read it based on that context and their time. So the father had two sons, and the younger asked for his inheritance. And in the scripture and in their times, it is dishonor to ask for your inheritance while your dad is still alive. Yeah? Even in our time now, you can just go to your dad, "Dad, give me my inheritance." It's like a slap on his face. But in that story, I believe there's a reason for this. Jesus was just using these extremes to show us up to what extent the Father would continue to love us. Okay, I'll speed up this process here. And he went and he left. The scripture says, and hurriedly he sold his property. You know, hurriedly, he did not get the right value for his property that he sold. Maybe he sold it to some Chinese guys. Give me the money. Not with Filipino, we're not good in business. We need impartation from maybe a Chinese bought it for this, you know. So hurriedly, and then in the story we see that he practically wasted everything. He wasted it, his inheritance. And let me suggest to you that in reality, it was not inheritance that he was up after for. It was the money, what he can get. Inheritance is much bigger. Inheritance includes the name, the influence, the friends, the contacts, or the momentum of honor and favor of your dad, of your mom. That is inheritance. Are you with me? So in this story, he settled for the money. So as he was going far, he was reduced to eating the pods that pigs eat. And in this context, he's a Jewish boy. They don't even eat pigs. Now he's eating what the pigs are eating. And complete this, and I believe this is the picture of the world without a father. This is the picture of a world without God as a father. We will be ending up in that state, in that pig pen, smelling like pig. Being a slave, no inheritance. He came to his mind, how much of my father, when he was so hungry, how much of my father's servant, they have food to eat. And he said, oh, I will go back to my father's house and tell him, I'm sorry, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned against heaven and against you. Make me one of your hired slaves. Let me suggest the real context of this. For most of the time, we interpret this as he repented. If you read it carefully, he did not actually repent that moment. He said, make me one of your hired slaves. In short, I will work for my inheritance again until I'll become a son. Hire me and I will work for it. I have a word for you. You cannot work out your sonship. Stop striving to become a son. You are a son. You are a daughter. You don't have to prove it. Just live it out. Amen. Stop thinking hireling. You are a son. You have a place in the Father's house. You have a place in the Father's table. Anytime, the Father is there to receive you, to embrace you, to take you home. So he was thinking, if you could just hire me, because there's a difference between a hired servant who he's got a place somewhere near the house, and he would be hired. And he's mastery level. He's a really a good slave. He earns higher than the ordinary slaves. And he said, hire me as one of those guys. He wasn't thinking of going back into relationship. Okay, are you still good? Okay, this is what happened here. And let me explain this. In the world, religion, this is how religion works. Everything starts with doing. I have to do something. Okay, doing so I can have. That's why he said, make me one of your slaves so I can earn something. In my earning, then I'll become a son. Say it with me, religion. Say it with me, religion. And this is the way of the world, by the way. I'm not saying, stop going to your office. No. You still have to work. Are you with me? But in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, this is not the way. We don't start with doing so we can have and then become. In the kingdom of God, everything starts with being. I am a son. I am beloved of my father. I am a daughter. Have you seen, when you were young, when you wake up, did you ever have, did you ever worry, will my dad be able to pay for the car, for the house? And then you wake up, you yawn, and you have your cereals there. You don't worry. Why? You are. Are you with me? What happened now in our walk with God? This is what happened. It becomes religion. Everything is about doing. If I could pray more, if I could fast more, if I could memorize more verses, maybe I will have a place in His house. And maybe I'll become a child of God. No, erase that. This is how the family works. You are beloved son. You are a daughter. Say with me, I am. Therefore, I have. I have inheritance. I have the Holy Spirit. I have His love. I have heaven. I have the angels backing me up. I have a future. I have. Come on, give a hand to the Lord. And because I have, then I have now a momentum to do. To do what I'm designed to do. Be an architect, an engineer, a preacher, whatever it is that, counselor. But you're not coming from a rat race. You're coming from a place of rest and see His face. I am beloved of my dad. He has given me everything. Heaven is open. Angels are with me. I have the Holy Spirit. I have authority. I'm not a victim. Therefore, what I see my Father do, I will do. What I hear my Father say, I will say. So that plan of the prodigal of, I will go back to my father and ask him if he could hire me. Remove that in your vocabulary or your flow of thoughts. Stop thinking as a hireling. You are a son. You have a place in the house of God. And so we know in the story. Are you still good? Yeah. Man, just push the eject button and I'm fine. Or rapture. Take me home, Lord. So the scripture says from afar, and we know the story. He finally came to his senses and he went back to the house of the Father. Let me say this again. The best you is found in Him. The best of who you are is found in the arms of a loving Father. The best in confidence, the best in creativity, the best in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, the best in abundance, in generosity is found when you are embraced by a good Father. So he was full of shame, guilt, and he was walking, going back to the Father's house. The scripture says, and from afar the Father saw him. The Father was waiting for that day. And as he was rich, he was about to reach the boundaries of that community. You know, there's a look that comes from the Father. It is never a look of accusation or judgment. It's a look of, where are you, Adam? Where is my son? So when he saw his son, the scripture says, and he ran. The father ran. And if you do that in their time, in their tradition, the father in that story, he owns property. He is known in the land. He wears robe. That's the context in their time. They don't wear jeans, by the way. They wear robes and they walk with a regal gait. They don't run. And for them, it is taboo, illegal to show your legs. So have you tried running with long dress? That's totally impossible. Are you with me? You will tumble. So how did the father do it? And the word run there, it's not like, and the father saw him and he started running. No. Read it from its real context. The scripture says, and he ran as if he was running with against somebody. It's like running a race. He was, Why in Old Testament you will read a scripture that says, when the prodigal son comes home, the elders in the city will, together with the parents, will meet up with the prodigal, and there in that boundaries, that prodigal will be stoned into death. And that context of prodigal is just a drunkard prodigal, and this guy wasted everything. And so, what the father did is this. He lifted his robe and the rest of the community said, oh, he showed his legs. He took the shame. He took the shame. He took the accusation and he ran against a group of people, the elders of that city, who was about to accuse and stone his son to death. So he was running, and he was running really hard to get there first before anyone could even accuse his son. In the eyes of the Father, there's no accusation. You are love. You are love. You are love. You are love. He's been waiting for you to come home. He's not waiting for you to be judged. He's waiting for you to be embraced. So he ran, and I cannot go on into some other traditional things. Just, it's too much to chase. There's too much to share here. If I read it from the traditional context, he ran against that group. Why? Because he wants to be there before any accusation, any condemnation, any words will be thrown, spoken against his son. And the Bible says, and he kissed him. That word kiss is not like, no. That son was still stinky, pig, smelling, rebel. But the Bible says, and then he kissed him. That word means, and he kissed him again and again. On his neck. Not just once. I pray tonight that baby will be born. That destiny covered by shame, delayed by shame, by guilt, delayed by things around us, by what the world, what people say. I pray tonight the kisses of the Father will stop our trying to prove that we can do it. It is the goodness of the Lord that leads us into repentance. As he was about to say, Father, he said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against heaven and against you. Then he stopped. He did not continue the negotiation. You know why? The father could not be stopped in his kissing. I just love you. I've been waiting for this. And then the father said, bring the robe. He did not say, bring a robe. He said, bring the robe. It's not an ordinary robe. It's a family's robe. In fact, it is the robe that the father wears when there is a celebration, a great harvest. The father wears that robe. And everyone in the community waits for the one who wears the robe to sit down before they can eat the curry. He is the main man. Everybody waits for that guy. But this time the father says, bring the robe, put it not on me. The slaves were ready to put it on the father. But he said, no, put it on my son. Tell the person next to you, you have his robe. You have robe. You're not naked. You're covered. I have to land now. Hallelujah. Lord, give us eternity. Yes, I'm ending there now. Say with me, identity. That robe is the identity. He covers you. You're not naked any longer. There is no more shame, no condemnation. You have a robe over you. The robe of the Father. So nobody could accuse you. That is the robe of favor. That is the robe of blessing. That is God's robe of protection. You are covered. You are embraced. You are loved. You have an identity. You belong to the family. You have the robe. Some people ask me, how come you preach that way? You're like a roaring lion. When I'm in my own space, I'm introvert. Yeah, my wife knows this. But how come when I'm here, I just want to be free? Because there is no shame in love. Perfect love casts away fear. I will talk about my dad. I will tell the world how much loving he is, how unstoppable his love is. And this parable is telling us it's time to come home, because there is a robe waiting for you. You don't have to walk this earth naked. There is a blessing. There is a covering. There is an embrace coming from the Father. And he said, bring the ring. The ring is the ring of authority. It's the signet ring of the family. It's like your credit card. It's the credit card of your dad. You know, the guy wasted everything, but I tell you this. When you come into full surrender to his love, you can be entrusted with everything. The ring was placed on his finger. The robe means I can go to heaven, but the ring means heaven will come down to earth. When I pray, heaven comes down. When I pray for the sick person, that person will be healed. When I pray for an impossible situation, that situation will shift. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You have authority. You have the ring. You have the ring. You have the authority. When you pray, angels come and they will follow the word of the Lord. Come on. Tell the person next to you, give a high five and say, you have the ring. Amen. Come on. The ring of authority. You have the robe. This is what I've been teaching. This message I've been carrying and spreading to Vietnam, to Southeast Asia. And I've seen tribal youth who are in bondage of fear coming out in authority. Before, they can't dance, they can't cry out to the Lord, they can't even clap their hands. But when they found out who they are, they know they have the ring, they have the robe, the Father protects them, the Father guides them, the Father is the name above them. I have the ring, and I have the sandal. I could go anywhere, any place in the house of my Father. I'm not walking barefoot. I'm not walking in circle. I'm not walking around the wilderness. I have the sandal. I have a destiny. I'm moving forward. Every place that I'm going to, that place is blessed because I have the sandal of the family. Lastly, I know this is a long story. I have to end somewhere. I'm ending here. Hallelujah. You know, Filipinos, we love rice. When the food is really good, we say extra rice, you know. But here, I can't ask for extra time. But this is really good. Every time I talk about my dad, every time I talk about... Religion makes sin the center. The Father makes the Son the center, not the sin. Religion makes sin the center of relationship. Did you do good? Have you done this? But in the Father's house, sin is not the center. Son, S-O-N, is the center of that relationship. The Father said, bring the calf and kill it. I'm heading to this point. Of course, I have to. He did not just say, kill the calf. He said, bring the calf. The calf was waiting, a yearling. Waited for that moment. Somebody had to die so that prodigal son will not be stoned to death. That yearling, that calf, symbolized Jesus. He died for your place so that you will no longer have judgment. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. Only love. Only love. Only love. The Father said, bring the calf, kill it. It's a covenant. On that day, the Father made a covenant to his Son. That's why he said, my Son was dead, but now he is alive. That's why in Paul writes, no one can separate us from the love of the Father. I pray that the Father will embrace us. It's time to celebrate. That fattened calf also means let's go back to the house, because there's celebration. This is the time for abundance. This is the time for joy. This is the time for celebration. Home, you are home. Let's all stand up. Let's just feel the heart of the Father. Lean back on his heart. And I'll release a prayer here, and then maybe we could just feel like this message spoke to you, and there's that part of you wanting to receive the Father's embrace, the Father's robe, the Father's ring. You want to receive a blessing. Maybe tonight is your night, and we will just open this altar tonight. Come. There's no need to be ashamed. This is family. Come. This is home. And we will just spend a time of worship. If no one comes here, it's all right. Just allow the Father to remind us, we have the robe. You have the ring. You have sandals on your feet. There is divine destiny. You're not an accident. And you have a covenant with the Father. No one can separate you from his love. Can we lift up our hands to heaven? Father, thank you for your love. Your reckless love, Lord. Your unstoppable love. Thank you for your embracing us 100%. Not when we are clean, but when we are yet sinners. Jesus the Son died for us. Thank you for you took the shame and you opened wide your heart and say, I love you because I love you because I love you because I love you because you are my son, you are my daughter. And tonight we stop arguing, we stop negotiating, and we say, we want your love. And Father, all over this place right now, release your love, embrace the family, Lord. Bring healing, bring deliverance, bring order, bring abundance, Lord. Let passion rise again. Let dreams come alive again. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. Can we just call him Father? Lift up your voice. Call him Dad. Call the Father. Worship him. Worship him.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.